I'm sure that some of the comments by Bruguera causes the needs to discussion, or you would like to discuss them further, and perhaps we can pick it up later on in our closing panel. But I would nevertheless like to turn now to our speakers, because I'm really looking forward to this. As I said, it is a bit an experiment for us all, because we ask everyone to make an input and to be inspired, and we also don't know what will happen now, and we will try to bring us together in the closing panel. But for now, we will hear different kind of perspectives, which are art historical, philosophical, decolonial, and political activist interpretations of the theme. So the presentations will go in a row, so we will have no interruptions, we will hear them all. And then, as I said, we will have them all sitting together here in the closing panel. Although, as we have an exception now, and that's connected with our next speaker, our first speaker of the second panel. I'm very happy and honored that you managed to come, that you're here with us today. So I would like to introduce Maria Lind. For some of you, perhaps I even don't need to introduce her, especially those who are in the field of the international contemporary art scene. Maria Lind is a very well-known figure, as she is one of the leading art theorists and curators in the field, and one of the principal representatives of contemporary participatory art theory. So in her work as a curator and educator and writer, Lind has engaged in a rethinking of the art institution and the formats and methodologies connected with it, taking art itself as a starting point. And I'm very much looking forward now to listen to your first input. And as I said, we have with you then a short Q&A after that. So very well, warm welcome to Maria Lind. Thank you.
So I can see the images from here.
I think so. Let me just put mine away.
I think this is you. Okay, here you go. Opening. Here you go. Slideshow. Yes.
Here you go.
And where do I? Is it just?
Yeah, just click here.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I would like to start with a question. Why are you involved with contemporary art? As for myself, I'm involved with contemporary art because it is an outstanding form of understanding. It's a form of understanding that is deeply eclectic, that involves all the other forms of understanding that we're familiar with, such as politics, philosophy, science, psychology, and of course also all kinds of other artistic expressions, such as literature, music, film, theater, etc. And as such a form of understanding, contemporary art has a unique capacity to help us grapple with existence in our time. And it is genuinely multifaceted, which means that it can take the shape and form of a participatory project, but it can also take the form of a sculpture, an installation, a film, a workshop, a painting, or you name it. The invitation to speak to the work of Tania Bruguera made me realize more clearly than before that, in fact, I'm not interested in her work. So what I'm going to do is that I will speak about three other projects that we can call participatory projects. And the first of those is one that was part of her Arte Util exhibition at the Van Abbe Museum in Eindhoven. Whoops. This one. Apollonia Shostashich's suggestion for the day. A commission from the year 2000 for a big group exhibition at the Moderna Museet in Stockholm. A group exhibition called What If? Art on the Verge of Architecture and Design. This exhibition wanted to take the temperature of what at the time was something that many artists were engaged with, namely architecture and design. And together with seven other artists, Apollonia Shostashich, who is an artist and architect trained in Ljubljana and Amsterdam, was invited to be part of a think tank. This think tank gathered half a year, or almost a year actually, before the opening of the group exhibition. And in the discussions among the participants in the think tank, it became very clear that none of them was particularly interested in design and architecture per se. They ventured into the fields of architecture and design in order to borrow and then return back to the platform of art in order to create what they considered art projects. Some of the other participants in this think tank were people like Dominique González-Förster, Jorge Pardo, Rick Ritter-Vanija, and a photographer like Miriam Bäckström. Apollonia Shostashich had at the time already made several projects that we could term participatory projects, and it was crucial for me to have her part of this particular combination. And that being so, because I still believe that curating a group exhibition, putting together a group context, is most of the time enriched by difference rather than similarity. So instead of assembling as many works or practices that are as similar to one another as possible, I was looking for diverse practices, but with an engagement in architecture and design nevertheless. Apollonia's project became Suggestion for the Day. Bicycle service where you could lend at the museum reception a bicycle together with a little kit containing a map and postcards. The map had marks on it with the locations in the city of Stockholm, which a group of young architects had pointed out as complicated, difficult, contended. And you could, as the visitor for free, do your own tour of the city, discovering things that a normal touristic tour never would underline. These bicycles were quite popular because at the time we did not have free bike services or electric scooters were not even existing at the time. And the discussion that she had with these young architects were very much based on the situation at the time in the capital of Sweden with a big crisis in terms of housing and a lack of engagement from the urban planning authorities in relation to what the citizens of Stockholm actually started to demand more and more clearly. But she realized also, Apollonia Shostashich, that the young architects had never met with the politicians and even less with the urban planners. So part of Suggestion for the Day was a roundtable discussion with precisely those stakeholders. It took place in the actual exhibition space of the group exhibition, What If? Art on the Verge of Architecture and Design, on a Monday when the museum was closed. And to our surprise, everybody who was invited, including the most well-known local politicians, said yes to the invitation. Several of them stating that they did so because this was an art project. They would not have done it if it was just any debate. We had an intensive discussion during this roundtable discussion for 4 hours. And afterwards, unanimously, the group said, we have to continue. And as long as I then worked as a curator at Moderna Museet, The group continued to meet in different premises of the museum. I eventually left, and Apollonia was then affiliated with Jaspis, the residency program in Stockholm. So they took over the organizational part. A few years passed by, and when I was working in Munich in something like 2003, I was heading a plane back to Stockholm, picking up the local newspaper on the plane and reading a small article about a debate at the Architecture Museum about the future of the harbor area of Stockholm and the housing developments there. Finishing the reading the article, I realized that this was the most recent instance of the continuation of suggestion for the day. So this was a project that had taken on a life of its own. Apollonia Szusztyszyc was not mentioned. The fact that it was an art project was not mentioned. It was something that had become a project with and without art. The second project that I want to mention... Oh, sorry, let me do like this. I should continue. Suggestion for the day was then purchased by the museum, and it became part of the collection. At the beginning of 2019, when I was invited to co-curate a biennial in Romania, the Art Encounters Biennial in Timișoara, me and my co-curator Anca Rujoiu invited Apollonia Szusztyszyc to make a new work. And she decided to think about what is already there, instead of coming up with something new, instead of adding more stuff to the world, as it were. And she decided to revive suggestion for the day, and it became suggestion for the next day. Together with a group of artists and activists in Timișoara, which is a city of 1.5 million inhabitants in the western part of Romania, close to the border of Serbia, they formed the group Zephyr. You probably remember that this is one of the wind gods in ancient mythology. And they decided to pick up on something that the group felt was urgent in this city at this point in time, namely the quality of the air. The city suffers from unusually bad pollution in terms of the air. And the Zephyr group... set out to document the situation using live streaming, figuring out how to make visible that certain areas on certain days are really in a bad condition to the point that people should actually be wearing some kind of mask. They used the fact that it was an art exhibition, making a small installation with plenty of plants and a reference library in one of the exhibition spaces of the biennial. And they also decided early on, as part of this awareness campaign, as they called it, to gather stakeholders in the city connected to air pollution, meaning people from the city council, meaning the vice mayor, meaning doctors doing research on this particular physical condition connected to air pollution, and also activists. And they were concerned with also younger people whom they understood would not join the roundtable discussion, as it was more or less a closed event. So they set out to do a forum theater for a month and a half. A group of youngsters gathered to together play, formulate a play, write a play, and eventually also perform a play with the kind of structure where you, as a member of the audience, can also intervene in the sequence of events. How this will continue now when the Art Encounters Biennial has closed, Apollonia is not scheduled to go back in the immediate future, we will see. It might actually move in the same direction as the suggestion for the Day of Stockholm, but this is then the suggestion for the next day. Then we have Ahmet Ögut's Silent University, another project that I have worked closely with during my time as the director of Tensta Konsthall, which is an art center in a suburb of Stockholm, a suburb where 20,000 people live. It's a late modernist housing estate built between 1967 and 1972. 90% of the inhabitants have a translocal background. Many today come from the Middle East and East Africa. And for a group exhibition that took place in 2013 called Tensta Museum, Reports from New Sweden, Ahmet Ögut was invited with his Silent University. The bigger context of the exhibition was the fact that we, as a small private foundation, the Kunsthalle, wanted to play museum, pretend that we were a museum in this rather marginalized suburb with a rich history historically going back to the Bronze Age, but also an incredibly rich history in terms of all the inhabitants. And we set out to collaborate on thinking about history and memory together with artists, architects, researchers, local associations, musicians, etc. The exhibition became a big quilt with many different patches coming together. And a core was the Silent University. Ahmet Ögut had already begun in 2012 at Tate Modern, together with the Delfina Studios, where he had a residency. And he wanted to create an independent educational platform for people who cannot practice their competence and education. In other words, primarily migrants, often paperless people. At Tate Modern, they started with a series of talks with people who could practice their knowledge in presentations and workshops. It was eventually shown at the showroom in London, or it took place, rather, I should say. And it was not about showing, but it took place at the showroom. At Tensta Konsthall, it quickly became a language cafe. Thanks to the lady on the right, Fahima Al-Nablsi, who came from Damascus to Tensta in the early 90s as a trained teacher and who could never get a job as such in Sweden. For many years, she was unemployed, and she started working as a receptionist at Tensta Konsthall in 2012. Upon contact with Ahmet Ögut, whom is originally from Diyarbakir, living between Amsterdam and Berlin, she suggested that within the framework of the Silent University, a language cafe would work very well, thinking about the demography and the situation of Tensta. They began once a week upon popular demand from the participants. Quite soon became twice a week. So people gather to practice Swedish with Fahima as a teacher, but also native speaking volunteers. They, in a way, started forming a little community, an informal community, and they asked if we could organize excursions. A lot of people who live in Tensta do not necessarily visit other parts of Stockholm for various reasons. They don't know the city, they perhaps don't feel welcome, but also the subway ticket is quite expensive. So once a month since the end of 2013, there is an excursion to another part of town. That can be a park, that can be a library, or like here, the parliament, or the local heritage association or the historical society in the area of Tensta. And all of these occasions are useful in terms of not only seeing something else, meeting new people, but also practicing a different vocabulary. The Silent University Project runs as a solid program line, I would say, at Tensta Konsthall since 2013, because we decided that this should have a certain part of the budget. A team member, Fahim Al-Nabsi, is dedicated to do it a certain amount of hours per week. And as a consequence, she has gotten to know very many people who come to ask her about other things. So she has also formulated a new project growing out of this called Citizen to Citizen, where people come to ask for advice about all kinds of practical matters, such as how do I write my CV? I cannot figure out how to pay this invoice. How can I find the right doctor for my son, etc. So it's a project that has grown in Tensta at the same time as it has grown elsewhere. There have been branches of the Silent University in Hamburg, in Bremen, in Paris, in Athens, in Amman, and the other really active branch is actually in Mülheim, in the Ruhr area. And in every place, it is shaped by the participants themselves. One of the legends in terms of participatory practice, engaged social practice work, political art in general, is Dog Ashford, based in New York. Between 1979 and 1996, he was one of the core members of the New York collective Group Material. Two of the other leading members were Julie Ault and Felix Gonzalez Torres. The group more or less dissolved when Felix Gonzalez Torres passed away in 1996. They started working in the East Village, renting an empty storefront, doing projects with the neighbors, putting up exhibitions which at the time were considered highly political, for instance, in relation to the U.S. involvement in the internal politics of a number of Latin American countries. They began making projects elsewhere, famously at the DIA Art Foundation, the AIDS project, as well as in the New York Times, on billboards in the city, moving outside of their project space. So they were very much formulating what social practice can be. Dog Ashford, in the 2000s, started to feel a bit hampered, a bit limited by the forms of social practice as he knew it at the time. And he retreated into the studio, started there to paint small paintings this size. They are they are painted on panel, more or less the same technique as medieval icons. And they're all involving geometric abstraction. So how could somebody like him move from this social practice into objects, paintings like these ones? Well, he, in his frustration, had done drawings, diagrams of people in the New York art world who were involved with activism in one way or another. And diagrams are, of course, abstract forms. And these abstract forms grew into the small abstract paintings, which he is painting in solitude, layer upon layer. You can hardly see a brush stroke. It sometimes makes me think of Tarkovsky's film, Andrei Rublev, how he, almost like a monk, is meditating while painting. And looking closely at these little gorgeous glistening objects, you realize that no angles are perfect. The work of the hand is there, not in the brush strokes, but through other indicators. And he, most of the time, also includes a photograph, preferably something from mass media. This particular series is called Six Moments in 1967 and Some of Its Bodies. And those moments are all from the civil rights movement in the US, when people took to the streets in order to collectively try to change something. And for him, the move into the studio, making these abstract paintings, was not a failure, was not a way of negating social practice. But for him, the method of social practice had reached an end. So he, in a way, is continuing what he has always done, but through different means. This is what it can look like in an exhibition. And I just want to show you the other five paintings in the series of six. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Maria Lind. Unfortunately, we are a bit running out of time, so we have to handle with the point that as we wanted to make it in the last closing panel, the discussion with all our speakers, unfortunately, Maria Lind will not be able to be with us, but we will continue now. So.